Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
The longest test match ever was in Durban. I think it was 9 days, 1939.
Yeah. Timeless test, yeah.
We played against England.
Huh? Yeah.
9 days and a draw.
The only reason why they stopped is because their boat was leaving.
Brilliant story.
Yeah.
I love that story. It's amazing. Okay, we're going to play some Jason Mraz now. He was here recently, and once again, you were out there batting or bowling.
I missed it, yeah. I missed it. Really disappointing.
Why do you like Jason so much?
Oh, it's just, you know, laid back, chilled, you know, the whole acoustic vibe going again. You know, I enjoy it. It's just, you can sit back and just listen and enjoy, basically, yeah.
Jason Mraz, when they do the T20, they usually play songs when you walk out. I remember when Zulu walked out. Remember Lance Klusner? They played EMP, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do they still do that? Can you choose the song?
No, not really. Not anymore.
That was brilliant. Remember the day we had Thunderstruck by AC/DC? Yeah. We knew, it was that guy and whatever.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I remember Ricky Ponting always walked out to Robbie Williams, "Let me entertain you." And that was just fantastic.
And then you get the crowd. So, you know, once again, if you want to entertain people, let the player select a couple of the songs. I think it'll be great. If there's a song that you would like to walk out to, you've got... So you've got to hit that last ball to win, right? What is a song they should play over the massive PA system when you walk out? The adrenaline is pumping. You're ready. You do those funny things with a bat. And then you walk past somebody that's just gone out. Why don't you chat to that person? I've always wanted to know. It's like, you don't have time, mate, to chat to the batsman.
Yeah, you can have a little bit of a word, but I think if you walk up there, he's a bit annoyed that he's out and, you know, you're just focused on what you got to do. So, you know, once or twice they do give you a bit of advice, tell you what's happening out there, but I think you're just getting in that zone. Everyone's got their own little routine that they do before they walk out. So, you know, you're just getting in the zone.
How about ABBA, "The Winner Takes It All"? I think that. Just kidding. Now, your favorite song, will it be a... I know you're a big Bon Jovi fan. You're a big Prime Circle fan as well. But if you had to choose one song, what would it be?
Wow. Just put him on the spot, yeah.
Difficult one, eh?
It is difficult because, I mean, I don't think I'd like... If I had to go with my favorite song, I would go Green Day, "Time of Your Life." But that wouldn't really, like, lift you up.
And
I must say, when we're in the gym and you need a little bit of adrenaline rush, we do play a little bit of angry music.
Okay.
You know, Rise Against does make, you know, one or two appearances there.
Yeah.
Fuel's always a good one to get things going. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one because you want something that people will recognize. Yeah. And, you know, so. Oh.
So while you're sitting there and the adrenaline pumps and, you know, when the batsman goes into bat, whoever it is, and you know you're going to be next, when you start getting ready, as that person walks on, or do you wait and you're going to, how do you control yourself? It must be like the nerves.
Yeah, I think everyone's got their own little specific thing they do. I like to take my time and, you know, just do everything that I need to do. So, like, if someone goes out and I'm two batsmen away, then I literally go inside and I start just getting my things and just easing in, you know. I'm a bad watcher of cricket when it comes to being in the change room. I always like see things that aren't there in the game. So I try and just, you know, take my mind off the game as much as possible and, you know, talk a bit of nonsense and, you know, just chill and relax and, yeah.
When you guys have tea, do you have beer?
No, we don't. Okay. And we don't have tea either.
Yeah, it's time for a tea, right? And I mean, tea, you just want to go to the loo. If you go out and you
just
in the
get
middle,
out of the sun, to be honest.
And there you are batting. And you need to go to the loo. What happens? How do you the adrenaline pumps? You forget about your bladder, don't you?
Yeah, you do sometimes forget about it. If it gets too bad, then you do. You know, ask the umpire. So I kind of got to go. You know?
How would we know watching the game or on television that you are off to the loo?
Well, as a batsman, if you go off the field, it's to the loo. Straight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're injured, whatever, the physio will first come on and assess whatever. If you just go splinting off there, you know exactly where he's going.
Has it happened to you?
No, actually it hasn't. No, it hasn't, to be honest. I've always just been able to keep all my functions flowing.
But also, I mean, you're standing out there in that heat. You need to drink a lot of water, whatever. What do you drink? Mineral water or a little bit of orange juice? What do they put in there?
We, by the Titans, we have it's by PVM. It's called Octane. It's just basically, it's like a sugar drink, but it keeps your sugar levels more stable. you know, you don't want to be drinking Coke or anything, you know, that sugar just spikes you up and then, you know, hits a downer. So, you know, water, Powerade, you know, this Octane stuff, anything that will just give you a constant release of energy and not just a big spike and then a downer.
They should give some of that stuff to our politicians in Parliament, I
think. I think there's enough going on there. I don't need it.
Now, the other thing, I know in tennis, I think Boris Becker used to always eat a banana or something. Yeah. Do you guys, what do you eat while you're out there batting?
Now, some guys do still go the old banana. A lot of guys, we have little jelly babies and energy sweets and fruits and, yeah, but it's mainly, you know, your energy sweets and maybe a banana or two.
And standing at the crease, okay, it's mind games the whole time. I mean, you know what, you must know it. I mean, that wicketkeeper behind you, harassing you the whole time, in your face. Do you actually hear the wicketkeeper, or have you learned already how to ignore that little guy?
You hear every single word they say. You do. Even if it's not, if it's the guy furthest away from you, you still hear what he says. And it's just, you know, you just got to block it out. And that's part of the game. We do it when we're in the field. They do it. Yeah, you just try and, you know, if the batsman is 2% off his game, then you're winning. So, you know, you just got to try and stay focused and try and actually get in the mind of the bowler and see if you can't put him off somehow.
There you are facing a ball from a person that you feared the most. Who was it bowling at you going, oh my goodness, wat gaan nou hier so aan? Who was it?
It was Mitchell Johnson.
Yo.
Yeah, I was still quite young then. I was, 2008 or 9, just out of the National Academy, and they came and toured you, and we played a warm-up game against them. And you could see things weren't going quite their way, so he came back and he wanted to make a point, and he just came steaming in. And I remember saying to myself, you know, he could just hurt you. Yeah? If you don't hit this ball, it's going to hurt you. And it's a little bit intimidating, but made it through, and yeah, it was good fun.
And also that little smile sometimes, you know.
Yeah, that's a sadistic smile.
Playing games, the bowler and the batsman. Yeah. Eh? And then, you know, I love it when Stan is batting, okay, and then it's payback time. Then he goes and he bowls again. I love that between the opening batsman and the bowler again, you know what I mean? So
I must say, I remember, you know, back in the day, there used to be something called the Fast Bowlers Union, where if you were a fast bowler and another fast bowler came to bat, you wouldn't, you know, you'd pitch it up, you'd you know, be nice to him, you wouldn't bounce him, and then they'll return the favor. But nowadays it's become so competitive, and that doesn't happen anymore.
Your call. Hello, David Visser. Would you like to play for the Titans? Do you remember that call that came through?
I do. It was actually, it was more voicemail. We were busy playing a game in Kimberley, and I was on the plane back from Kimberley, landed at the airport, turned my phone on, and there was a message from the Titans coach then, Richard Pybus, and just said, listen, give me a shout. It's quite urgent. I need to talk to you. And then phoned him back and he said, one of the guys went down injured in warm-ups this morning and we've got a game tomorrow. And I still remember it was against Zimbabwe when they were still playing in our domestic circuit. Yeah. And he said, you're going to be making your debut. Congratulations. Come to the stadium and pick up your clothing.
How did you feel? What went through your mind? I mean, you must have you couldn't believe. It's like that, you went cold. You know that feeling? It's like.
I think it was more like a relief that, you know, finally everything that you've been working for has paid off, you know. Because at that stage you kind of know that you're close because you've played in all the inter-squad games, you've been part of like the winter squad training, all of that stuff. So, you know, you want to know that all the hard work's paid off. And, you know, once you get that phone call and you chill for about the next 5 minutes, and then you start thinking, okay, so now it's actually happening. Now what am I going to do?
And then you arrive there, and the rest of the team, you're the newbie there, you walk in. What was the vibe like? Were they kind to you? Were they nice? Was it like a team effort? A welcome to the brand, so to speak. You know, you're never bigger than the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. What was that like for you?
Well, I say again, the nice thing was that, you know, I've been part of the, you know, inter-squad games and the winter squad, and, you know, being at Eastern's amateur side, a lot of, you know, one or two of the guys used to play with them, play against them in the warm-up game. So by the time I made my debut, I kind of knew everybody there, and they all knew me also. So, you know, it was just, you know, walking to the change room, and they really made me feel welcome. And, you know, they try and do their best to calm your nerves and, you know, get you to do your best performance.
What happened when you made your debut the first day? Not a duck again.
No, it wasn't a duck again. But I remember I bowled three overs. I got 0 for 27 in those three overs, didn't bowl again, and I didn't bat. So it wasn't that great.
But I think it happens to all the top cricketers in the world. I mean, you go, it's a day you'll never forget, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, you never see a guy just having an average debut. Mm. You did okay. You either do fantastic or you just do so bad.
And the worst thing is when you do that well, you're going to have to, they expect it from you in the next game, exactly, which is even worse.
At least I was like, dude, you can't do any worse. Come on, you know, it's only going to get better.
Great.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.